Hello, everybody. Welcome to Escape the Talk Show and the post-wipe hype. Jonathan, how are you doing?
I am doing very well. I am very hyped about this wipe thing.
My name is... My name is Fab, and this is my first raid, this wipe. So you lead the way. So this show, we talk about things, but we also play Escape from Tarkov while we do it to keep us entertained. And if you have never listened, this is like this hardcore shooter, and they wipe. It's kind of, they have like RPG elements, and like they do every few months, they just wipe your account and you start from scratch. And now we have to do all the annoying quests again. They moved some shit, like the flea market is now level 20. And I barely made level 20 before the last wipe, so that's going to be interesting. You're going to have to help me out there, Jonathan. We'll have to be better this time.
Yeah, everybody loses their shit, also mentally, but like literally all of the items they've accrued over like 6 months of playing this game, they're gone, and people have to start over.
On the upside, everybody's like, oh, I used to be able to run so fast and shit, and now I have to adjust, right, all the streamers to like my character being shit, and I'm like, it's no adjustment for me. Also, I don't have any shit and I'm broke. I'm like, that's no adjustment to me. That was my... It's a little bit more of a level playing field. The only annoying thing is that they do this in the middle of the summer, and I have a life, right? I'm going to go on holidays very soon, so I don't have any time to play right now, which is annoying. So by the time I'll get back to Tarkov, everybody will again be level 40. Pestily will have Kappa. I think when we plugged streamers last time, did we plug Pestily?
I'm not sure. But we should.
He's currently doing like a subathon, and he's gonna stream like his life for like the next 50 days.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I didn't know that he was actually gonna stream him sleeping and stuff.
Yeah, I saw that today. I was like, I was watching him sleeping. That was like, I would never do that. Like, I talk in my sleep.
Watching him sleep.
There were this morning. There were like, well, morning my time. There were like 11,000 people watching him.
It's crazy.
I talk in my sleep, and I sometimes dream like dirty things, so I'd be very, very scared that I'd be like, I don't know.
Like, oh yeah, you like that one?
Yeah. look at this. Let's put it in.
You didn't see this one coming, did you?
Yeah, it would be horrible, so we're not doing that. More power to Pestily. He's great. He's like the granddaddy of Tarkov streamers.
It's not like a bit of an origin video. He was like, yeah, I didn't even try to be a streamer. It just kind of happened by accident.
I think his wife moved, and then they had to move because of his wife's job. And then he started streaming. I think he didn't have a job at. He was like in the army, and then he was a firefighter for a while.
Yeah, and I think he wanted to do like a tour through Europe and post and have a bit of a following. And then he was like, oh, we're just going to stream. Let's see if I can have like 1,000 people follow me. And then now he's like the biggest Tarkov streamer, or one of the three biggest.
By the way, if he's one of the, he's a pretty, like in Twitch, he's very big in general right now. In case you're wondering what this weird sound is, by the way, we have to examine everything again, because the character has been wiped. His memory has been wiped, so he doesn't know.
Doesn't know a bottle of Coke when he sees one, you know.
Right. And so I have to examine all the items, so that's what's going on. How's your life been, Jonathan? How are things going?
My life has been pretty good. It's gotten warm. It's also been rainy, of course, because it's been rainy here. Coastal climate.
No, it's been rainy here as well, like for weeks now. I'm a bit worried. I'm going to go on a motorbike trip very soon here. I hope it's going to...
I found a really interesting thing regarding temperatures, by the way. Oh, there's this gap.
Oh, yeah. I don't have my pistol out. Oh, you already killed him. Okay. Something interesting.
Yeah. Before. So apparently there's something called the wet bulb temperature, which describes the temperature at which...
The wet bulb temperature?
Wet bulb temperature. That's like the threshold for... when water stops evaporating, so it's like the temperature at 100% relative humidity,
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That is,
yeah. We've had that for a while here.
So I used to think that people were bullshitting, right? When they say like, "Oh, it's so humid, and that makes it so much worse with the heat." It actually disables your body pretty quickly from being able to lower or control your own body temperature because you can't sweat.
Well, you're sweating, but the sweat isn't like, it's not evaporating, so it's not going anywhere. Exactly. So I figured that out when I went to Darwin in Australia. Pretty much 100% humidity all the time, and very warm. But we've had that. I was running the other day, and it was like, it wasn't like that hot. It was like maybe 28.
Yeah.
But sunny, and like 100% humidity. So it was. Yep. I was sweating like a pig, but it wasn't helping. So I think I was the only guy running. I'm used to this shit from Australia. I actually like it because I like to sweat when I exercise.
Yeah, sweating is also healthy, right?
It's kind of the part of just the point of it.
No, yeah.
Yeah, and
do you want to loot the rest of this guy?
Haven't you you've been back. Like in his ass for 10 minutes now. he's got a catter. Nice. Somebody, he's got a helmet, right? It's just watch my ass here. This shooting's making me nervous.
I think that's all the way over the lumber mill.
So so you found out about that. That is definitely a thing.
It was so surprising to me that humans are that incapable of controlling their body temperature just, you know, after like such a relatively short amount of time. You know what I mean? Like that it, or like at such, you know, marginal seeming differences, and that you can basically tolerate higher temperatures.
Yeah, if it's dry heat. Yeah. That's the whole dry heat. When they say it's very hot, but it's dry heat.
Yeah.
So that's what a lot of people can't stand about. Like, so, you know, in Australia, I was in Queensland, and northern Queensland, if you go up in Queensland, you go north, you pass the Tropic of Capricorn, and then you're like in the proper tropics. And in the summer, it gets like it's very hot, but it also rains a lot. And it gets very, very humid. And there's some people who cannot stand this, especially like Germans who are just like, I'm lying down. I'm going to die now. this doesn't. And I love that climate. Like, this amazing. I mean, it's like you got to get used to it because basically the thing people complain about, like normally when you're hot, right? You can. I'm just going to go to the left here to the beach and see what's going on here. Normally you can go and you can, nothing's going on, and you can like have a shower, right? And then you're like refreshed. Problem is, if you do that up there, like it doesn't do anything. You come out of the shower and you're already sweating again. Like you're just like, you towel yourself down and it's like you hadn't used the towel. I mean, the towel's wet, but you're just like wet again. So you just have to like, you have to just go with the flow and go like, okay, I'm just wet now. This is now how things are.
My natural state of being from this point on.
And then you're okay. But some people really can't do that. I love this weather. People are just constantly complaining now, and there's just like global warming, and it's very tropical, like in Western Germany right now. It's like really warm, and then but it also rains a lot now. I just love that climate. It's just so good.
I love summer rains. They smell nice.
Oh my god, we were. I was like, we just had Katie was in bed last night, and we just had the door to the veranda open. I was just sitting there reading a Bosch book, and it was like raining outside, and it was like total like the rain pattern. I love that sound. You know, we love that in Tarkov as well. And it was just like this film noir experience. It was really good. That leads me to my first topic, by the way, if you want me to.
Yeah, hit me.
So I wanted to talk about Bosch because I just finished the series. And I think you've watched it too, right?
So I didn't. I had not seen the last two seasons. So I just watched 5 and 6.
So you didn't watch the last season.
Well, which is the last season?
Season 7.
Oh, well, then I haven't watched the last season. Excuse me. Sorry, I thought it was the last two seasons I watched. Maybe that's
I think it's season 7.
How, gated.
How did it end? Like, did the last season start with like New Year's Eve?
No.
Okay, then you haven't watched. Like, I was surprised that it was out as well. They just released a season with 8 episodes, which very interestingly is set in January 2020.
Okay.
And at the end, like at the second to last episode, they actually have on the news, they have like, oh, some weird virus out of China, blah, blah.
Oh.
And they have some references.
I don't think that. No.
But it was obviously filmed. It was filmed in like 2020. So it was filmed after that. It's just like backdated. I think that's pretty cool because they made it normal. Like, the worst thing about this whole thing is that the series ends. How good are you for spoilers? Like how?
I think I'm fine with spoilers.
I mean, this is not so much of a spoiler, especially if you know what happens in the books.
I have no idea.
It's a plot point, and it's a very pretty early, actually much earlier in the books than in the series. So at the end of this last season, Bosch quits.
Cool shit in the stash, by the way.
Okay. So he quits.
Yeah.
And it ends with him getting a PI license, like a private investigator license. And
that's amazing.
That's like in the books. That's like very early. Like he already he goes and there are several books where he becomes he's a PI. I'm actually reading like the first one right now, I think it is. And it's really weird because he's Connolly, like the guy who writes this stuff, switches to first person for the PI books.
Okay.
And I think that's like an old school, like hardboiled detective thing, you know, like Continental Op or whatever, or like Hammer. I think it's like a stylistic thing.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really weird. I think he switches. Oh, there's a guy running in the village. He switches back. I'm going to see if I have a shot. Nope, I don't. I don't know where he's gone, actually. I think he switches back. So, yeah, so Bosch actually, at the end of the book I'm reading right now, I think it's just the second PI book because he goes back to the LAPD.
Okay.
After. But what they're going to do with the... there's a guy left of you. There's a guy left of you in the field. Running down there. I don't have a shot. I think it's Scav.
Yeah, down.
Okay.
Right, are they going to turn that into a show as well?
So there's going to be a spin-off series where with Titus Velover and like most of the I think all of the main guys, where he's going to be... a PI, so it's going to be a different series, but it's weird. Like it's not on Amazon.
Okay.
It's going to be on IMDb TV, which belongs to Amazon. So I didn't know this, but they're like I don't know. So apparently you can get them here as well. As I haven't had a look, but you can like apparently you can get them on like smart TVs and shit. And it's basically it's ad supported.
All right. Okay.
So it's not like you know Amazon Prime Video,
where you pay up front and then you get the show. Yeah. Okay.
It's not like, but it's also streaming, but it's like ad supported. So I'm going to be interested in that. I mean, I love Titus Welliver. He's like really cool. And I love Bosch. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can. You can say what you think about the series, but I think it's very, very... It's extremely stylish.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Very well done.
I put some money in this Scav's pocket, so maybe we can take the car.
Okay, I've got money as well.
Okay.
I brought money, as always, Jonathan. I remember that much from the last wipe.
I forget it all the time,
actually. Do you want to take the car now?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, let's take the car, and then you're going to give me your... appraisal of Bosch, the series.
Yeah, so you got me hooked on Bosch, and I think you also had a show at some point where you talked about the individual episodes.
Yeah, or I used to do one with my old co-host from Lens Outlaws, Dan. We did like a show on
Hollywood Outlaws.
Yep, which sadly kind of stopped because we didn't I don't know. I was working at the time and I was very stressed, and then had other shit going on in his life.
I mean, it's also like, it's a lot of discipline to like get that deep into topics and stuff. But yeah, you got me hooked on the show, and I've been enjoying it a lot.
Let's keep talking about that when once we're in the next raid here, because
gonna be right back.
Let's do it. Keep up. We got a bandit.
Hello, we are back. Second raid. That first raid was very successful. Oh god, where the hell are we? Holy shit.
Oh, we're back at the village. We're right.
Oh, it's the other side of village. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, Bosch, what do you think?
So, I think Bosch is a really good cop show. And that in a way, so, I don't know, as a frame of reference, like, it's not like CSI, where they basically, like, they have a case, and at the end of the episode, they have solved the case, right? CSI is always the same pattern, right? Something happens, they find the killer, which actually isn't the killer, and, you know, interrogate that person, and then they find new evidence, and they find the real guy, or whatever, right?
So, and it's a serial, it keeps repeating every episode, right?
Exactly.
And Bosch is not a serial. Oh, is that you?
Yeah, that's me. Let's keep going this way. I need some saliva, so I'm hoping to find some over here.
I'll follow you.
So yeah, with Bosch, it's multiple cases happen at once, and you kind of follow mostly him, the main character, which is a bit like a character that has facets and certainly has some flaws and stuff. But also it's like a very obvious hero character, right? He like usually gets out of a bad situation. But he's like not invulnerable, and there's loss, and you know, there's no it's not a show where everybody survives, right?
And he's typical hard case cop guy, right? He has like his main problem is that he can't turn it off, like he can't stop. Like, it's so typical, it's like Miller in The Expanse, where they go like, okay, you're fired, and you just can't let the case go.
Exactly. But I think so for the character he is, he also gets mocked a little bit by his daughter, right? Like, come on, dad, get a cell phone with a screen that you can touch and stuff like that, right? So he's like very old school. And I think they portray that in a very endearing way, right? They don't, it's not like disrespect. It's not like, hey, old people are stupid. It's just like, you know, come on.
Yeah, and it's not like this running gag where it like just is the same all the time. I mean, he does learn how to use a cell phone. And then in later seasons, it's just normal for him. Like, it's just like, you know. Yeah, he just learns it, and in the books actually, because like, I find this really interesting, because in the books it's another era, right? So in the books he was originally in the Vietnam War, and then was in the police, then had a sabbatical or whatever, and re-upped for the Gulf War, right?
Right.
And in the series, he was in the Gulf War, and then was in the police, and then re-upped after 9/11 and went to Afghanistan. And like in the books, he's like in special forces. Sorry, I'm trying to loot the stash, but...
Oh, it cleared it out.
Oh, well, I don't have to do that then. Where did you go? Over the hill?
Towards Musa camp.
I don't know where that is currently.
Okay, hold on. Come back to the plane.
Oh, I see you. Yeah. Okay. Stay there. I'm up here. I'm on the hill, right? Following you. So they just time shifted it, but it's like kind of the same thing. In the books, actually, he doesn't know how to use a computer, and then
somebody
tells him how to Google things. Basically, and he goes to a library, and there's like the library woman that Google everything for him. But then also, it doesn't stay with that. Like then he learns how to do it, right? So later on, he actually uses a computer. I think he gets like a laptop or whatever.
So there's also some development, right, in the characters. And I think there's a lot of interesting interpersonal stuff on top of the police work. And I think, they do have some long running cases, basically, right, where like something happens.
It's usually two a season, yeah.
Yeah. And I think they tie that in very, very successfully together. It's very, very entertaining to watch.
Oh, that's
and
cool
also, it doesn't spell things out too obviously, right? So when he makes a discovery, it doesn't go like flashback, this means that this happened or whatever, right? You know?
I actually like that you say that, and that's why I like you asking you about it, because I read the books, several of them, and I like it because the way they tie in, so these are all cases from the books, but they usually tie two cases from two different books into one season. So there's like an A plot and a B plot. And I like, I think at least in one season, maybe in two, the thing you think is the A plot is actually the B plot. And then you think that's the major case, and then it just turns over in the middle of it. And you're like, what? Okay, now the thing you thought was just a side mission is suddenly the important part. I really enjoy how they did that.
Oh, what? He's in here.
Yeah, I saw. You just got shot in the head when you jumped over. Oh, to the right? Shit. I'm just sitting here and hearing him running. Let's see if I can avenge you. He just ran. Oh! Shooting at me. I don't know from where. No, I'm dead. Where the hell was he?
I don't know. I think he ran out the front door, basically.
After we got so rudely killed by that fucker, where were we?
What a guy. I think we're not quite done with the bot. I'm happy that I think what I get from you is that it comes through in the show that there's like multiple plots that are, you know, that are going on at the same time, and that there's a lot of detail to a lot of the stories, right?
So when it's like a cop show, it's not like. They basically, because there are very many books, they took like lots of the stories and they took like just some background stuff that goes on in his life, like from one book, and combined that. And it's a very deep experience.
Yeah.
So especially if you're used to like it. Also, it's very stylish. If you're used to like German cop shows like Tatort, which are basically fucking boring. And there's like you don't really get to know the characters that much, really. This is like as much about the characters as it is, or the characters as it is about the cases. And what I like, so Titus Welliver is actually a producer, has been very involved in the show, and some of the other actors as well, especially like Lance Riddick, the guy who plays Irving. He's awesome. He also does video game voices a lot, by the way.
As
a gamer, which is cool. And they fleshed out these characters a lot, that which are like in the books it's like all Bosch, right?
Yeah.
And it's also like his daughter is not that important, but there's a nice rig in here, a Tarzan. And what the hell is that? Okay. I've completely looted this. Let me just. I need to like change stuff around here.
And so I think with the German crime shows, sometimes it feels a bit forced because they just have somebody say like, oh yeah, you know, I have this alcoholic father, or you know, something is going on with them. It feels a bit like forced how they try to put some depth into some of the characters that
you
really aren't that deep.
Are you at Dead Man's Place? Okay. Yeah.
And with Bosch being a cop show, I think they actually hit a in the show. I can't speak for the books, right? I think in the show they hit a very interesting line, because they're not painting the police as perfect. Like, there's some internal affairs investigations and stuff, and also the main character is, I mean, borderline, like, is he doing something illegal?
On trial because he shot somebody, and you don't know the first season, you don't really know what happened, like, quickly that he's just like shot that guy because he wanted to.
And I think the police is actually not painted as this like glorious, we are always right, we sometimes have to break the rules in order to do everything. But it's obviously not 100% aligned with how the law is, but more with the moral code of the main character in a way, which I think is like would be in reality would be pretty dangerous, right? And I think lots of law enforcement struggle with that, and you know, I think it's a very difficult conversation, which I think the show actually picks up in a lot of very meaningful ways because they.
What
also
do you mean,
had,
like the difference between like his moral code and the law?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting part about it, actually.
That's because that creates a lot of tension for the story and stuff like that, right? I think that is pretty good. And yeah, I think they have a lot of really good stuff.
That's totally from the books, by the way. So, oh, somebody's shooting at me, I think. I don't know from where, though.
I'm running to the end of the beach right now.
Yeah, I see you. I see you running. Why is it getting dark all of a sudden?
I think that's just a cloud passing by.
Shit. Okay, I'm running to you. I'm like weaving. I don't think that was a sniper rifle. That sounded like completely different. Might have been a scav. So I find that very interesting. It's totally from the books, like the whole LAPD thing, right? How the LAPD is very, very, like if you go police is questionable, right?
Yeah.
It's one thing to say that about some random police office, but the LAPD in itself is like famous for this shit, right? Rodney King and all these.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, the riots and all of that. And that's like totally all from the books, like and I, you know why I think it's so real? Because Connolly, the guy who writes it, is actually a very interesting backstory. Like, most of my favorite writers, he was a journalist. And actually, he was in college or something, he wanted to be like a crime writer, right? And his parents were worried, like, if he drops out of college to be a crime writer, then his life is going to be shit, right? So I think I read something, or maybe it was an interview, but anyway, he was like talking about this. And his parents were ingenious because they said, okay, so what you're going to do is you have your mindset on quitting college. That's okay, right? But you can't just be a crime writer. That doesn't work. So what you're going to do is you're going to go and become a journalist. Right. And then you can go and be on the crime beat. And then you can learn. Then you could be a good crime writer because then you can learn how this works. And they obviously did this because they wanted him to have an out if his books didn't take off, that he still had a career. But it worked out. Like, he wrote some books he didn't publish, like every writer, because like the first books he write are shit. And then he became a best-selling crime novel author. Man, these bushes you can't run through are very different. they changed that. So I thought both his parents were ingenious. That was like an ingenious idea. And it just endears him to me because obviously I'm also a journalist, you know. Oh, there's somebody running. Oh. Did I hit that guy? I don't think I did, right? Can't possibly.
I think he's down.
Did you shoot at him as well?
I shot at him as well.
Okay, you must have killed him because I don't think that was... I don't think I was killing him with that.
Yep, there's the body.
It's a scav, I'm guessing.
Nope, it's a PMC. Oh, it's got a pistol.
So who killed him? Who killed him?
That was me.
Oh, see. Okay, I just wanted to see. Oh, it's a pistol runner.
I think. Yeah.
Oh my god, he's got a nice Weber Hunter.
Yeah, loot that shit. I'm just here for the salivas.
Right, you go for the salivas. I'm gonna loot this guy. Yeah, so I, you know, like Terry Pratchett, who was also a journalist, I just like, and I think that actually helped him. I think, you know, he was actually on the cop beat in LA for like, oh, I'm being shot at from the exit. I'm dead. Main entrance.
Well, well, well. Come back, everybody. We're back in Tarkov. And yeah, we've figured out that Bosch has cursed us. So no more talking about Bosch. Fucking Harry Bosch.
Let's. You're like Irvin. Bosch. So we got an officer involved shooting. Who is it? Harry Bosch? Fucking Bosch.
Yeah. And well, I mean, you know, go watch the show, see if it's something for you. Give it a couple of episodes because it's more of a slow burn show than some of the other modern whatever shows. But it's
very good. Amazon Prime, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you want to talk about?
So I figured since we're both very excited about like delivering content to the people. I thought we could talk about our experiences with, or our latest fascinations with static site generators and contrast to CMS and stuff like that.
This podcast will be 8 hours long now.
I mean, I think it's just more of a, you know, why we think our current tech stack is obviously very cool and what we're doing with it. So I know that you're blogging on fab.industries, and you use a static site generator for that, as far as I'm aware?
Yeah, for everything. ScenicTarkov.com. There's a guy.
He's down.
And, of course, EscapeTheTalk.show is Hugo. Yeah.
Yep. So how did you find Hugo? Is that... did you do some research and go like, oh, this is the shit?
No, I don't. I never do any research. I'm a journalist, man. We just like, you never do any. I actually can't remember. I just look at, because I'm a tech journalist, I like looking at new shit and trying it. And I don't know. It was, I think I heard about Jekyll and I played around with Jekyll, which is like, is there still stuff in this guy?
There's a rig and a backpack.
Yeah, that's what I need. Which is like, what is that? What's that written in? I think, is it Ruby?
Is it Ruby?
Yeah, so I tried it. I didn't really like it. I was like, I kind of like the idea, but I don't like this implementation of it.
Yeah.
And then I found Hugo, which is written in Go. And they were advertising it with, like, it's so much faster and shit.
Yeah.
I didn't really care about that. Where are you in the base, by the way?
I'm in the tent.
Okay, I don't want to... Oh, yeah, you went right to the Salaeus. I was like, I might loot some Salaeus. No. Jonathan looted all.
There might be somebody else here.
Oh, where?
Don't know.
Okay. Was stuff looted? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there was an open crate.
Maybe that guy we shot.
Yeah, but he came from outside.
Right. So, I just don't know. I tried to go. I didn't care about, like, it's like 5 milliseconds faster, right? I was like, gives a fuck. But I kind of liked it from, like, the way you set up sites or whatever. I don't know. I kind of liked it. And so, I like it generally because I used WordPress to blog and build my websites. Yep. For a long time, I've used what's the other one? What's the thing? Danloft?
Joomla? Drupal?
Yeah, Drupal. I was using Joomla, it's horrible. I fucking hate Joomla. Never used that. But Drupal. Oh, somebody's shooting. Is that you?
Nope.
That's a scam.
Out the way we came in.
I'm next to the fire truck.
To the fire truck. You're not coming in the back door. Right
now. No, but there's a scav. Outside.
I shot one at the, where we came in.
Okay, there's this guy on the other side. He's going around, I think. I think the scavs are coming in.
Good point.
Gonna have a try. I'm a bit worried that there's like other guys following. I'm gonna come in your direction through the camp.
I'm sitting over a guy looting him.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that one scav is still alive. But I have no fucking idea where he is. And I'm obviously looting while I'm doing this because I'm a fucking rat.
Yeah, I'm where we killed the first guy.
Okay, I'm coming through the camp. Oh, there's one guy at the entrance where we came in.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, that's you. Okay. Oh, that's where we killed the guy. Okay, yeah. Hello. Yep. I think, if you go that direction, that's scav rounded. Rounded the camp in this direction. So he might be around here somewhere. Not sure though.
Yeah, so fun fact, my first portfolio when I started studying and I got into
this guy here, I think it's a player. No, it's a scav. Couldn't get him. I need to reload. I'm going around.
He's going upstairs.
You're going upstairs?
No, he's upstairs. Oh. He's in the blue container now, I think.
Okay. I'm going in the entrance where we shot the guy. I was shooting through the camouflage netting.
Yeah.
And I think that it interrupted my bullets. I don't think it should. But I don't know where he is now. Okay.
So I went into Drupal because that had some cool editing workflows.
Oh, I see him. He's up at the red container.
Okay. Some cool multi-language stuff and everything. I thought that was very cool, so that's why I.
Why can't I fucking. I think he's dead.
Okay.
I'm keep talking. I'm gonna check this guy.
So I thought Drupal was really fun, and actually my previous
version
of my portfolio was based on Drupal, and then at some point I switched to WordPress, which my main blog still kind of is.
Oh, he's got a Mosin. Keep talking. Nah.
Which my main blog still kind of is. My blog that gets most hits is still on WordPress, and it's just too annoying to change. It's got like a bunch of comments and shit like that. It's like, yeah.
So maybe we should
quickly explain what a static site generator is compared to like the average website. So for the past, I guess, 20 years, most websites are based in some kind of programming language like .NET or PHP or Ruby, and you kind of have the server make some active calculations, which then builds the HTML that comes out and is shown as a website to whoever wants
Basically what happens if somebody visits your site, the server has to do some shit and basically builds the website for this one visitor on the fly.
Yeah. And with the static site generation, it's a bit like when you have a compiled language, like a compiled programming language. So you build the page beforehand. So you put the work into like the, you know, up front once, and then you don't have to do it again.
Basically. Right. So every time you, with WordPress or something, if you change the site, obviously it's live right away because, it builds it for every visitor, right? So the next visitor comes along, it just builds the site again. With static site generator, if you update it, you have to like rebake it, like you rebuild the site, and then it just puts it puts the HTML and CSS whatever on the server. So it's like an old school website, you know, like back in the day. It's like basically like that when you basically had to hand edit HTML, except
I'm leading. Let's
you're
go.
Not. Yep, I'm following. So you're basically you're doing that once, and then it just puts that HTML on the page. So it's basically best of both worlds. It's like a static site on the server, but like you can use it like a CMS, right? You don't have to hand code anything. It's just like if you don't want to.
Exactly. So you have like just files that are being transferred from the web server, which is usually more efficient than. Having somebody like or having an active process generate something. So that's like the big selling point of the whole static site thing. And I've tried a couple of different ones. Actually, I tried to use Yugo for a project at some point, and I actually switched to something else because I wasn't confident that I could implement that well in Yugo. I'm pretty sure it is possible, but it was just
Did you switch to another static site generator or?
Yes. I switched to another static site generator and one that has, like some people say it's overly complicated or it doesn't do stuff easy enough.
Oh, is this Jaeger's Camp? Oh, cool.
This is Jaeger's Camp, yeah.
Just got the quest. Nice.
And here's the note. I tried to build a website about
Hello note.
Can't. Different photography laws. So basically, like, what is the legal situation for street photography in Spain or in Portugal?
I can't check this note. Ah, oh, it's so buggy.
Sit down. Sit down. Crouch.
Oh, okay. That's how it works. Okay, go on.
So, and that's I also kind of open source the content for that site about the different photography laws.
Cool.
And it's like also about drone laws and all that kind of stuff. And it has a bit of a...
Do you want to plug that site? What's that site?
It's called law.photography. So, yeah, that's... it's been a super fun project to build. But my problem was that I also wanted multi-language, so I needed the content by country. And also I need the content like by language.
Yep, I have that on my blog. You can very well do that in Hugo, but you need a theme that is built like that.
So yeah, I wasn't like confident that I could implement that.
On my blog, I have like a German. Basically, there's a toggle in the top right corner, and you can switch it between German and English. And I've got two blocks. What did these guys do here? Are they just having?
No, but there's two dead guys in a row. Yeah. There's an op SKS and one of them.
Oh. Yeah, so... you didn't pick up his tag. Why didn't you pick up his tag?
Oh, I didn't know there was a tag. Sorry, I didn't
pay attention. Tag. Yeah, so there's so more tags.
I need every article by country, by language.
Yep.
So that was a tricky thing.
You can do that, yep. So I have this switch thing at the top of my website because you can... basically, you have a German block and an English block.
Yep.
Right. And so you can do that. You can totally like have all the content.
I figured out how to do multi-language, but I didn't figure out a good way to like have my content generate in the URL structure that I wanted because it's like this two-dimensional thing. But I'm pretty sure it's possible. I was just not very good at implementing that.
Shit, I can't fucking get this weapon. Okay. I'm going to. Just give me a second here. I forgot how to play this game, basically. But keep talking. Just give me.
Yeah. So what we went with instead is called Gatsby.
JS. Gatsby. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And it's I heard steps to the right. I think. No, it's shots. Sorry. Gatsby JS, which is
fucking JavaScript.
It's very interesting because it uses GraphQL, which is like, as the name suggests, a query language, where you basically write. It's a bit like writing SQL because you basically have at the when your site compiles, it builds this in-memory content model of what kind of content you have. So the extra fields like when your post was published or which language it's in or which URL it's supposed to be in and stuff. It outputs that into like a big in-memory object. And then you can query it like you would query a database.
That sounds fucking annoying.
So that's why I'm like, you know, some stuff with WordPress would definitely have been easier. But
in Hugo, you just do that in the file. You just have like these things. It's called front matter, right? You have like these tags basically in front of the file.
Same in Gatsby, yeah.
Okay, but why do we need the query bullshit?
Well, because so with Gatsby, you can kind of decide if you want to do that at build time or some of the stuff you can do at runtime. So if you don't want to load all the data in the beginning and stuff like that, right? You can do some really fancy shit with it. But mostly what I want is just to have like this GraphQL query that then lets me do whatever I want, like display my content in certain ways. So that was very interesting, and for me that was the first time I had a production project with GraphQL actually. So that was very interesting.
Give me some time here. I need to eat some sprats.
So that was super fun, and I can recommend that people like try it out. It might be overly complicated for whatever use case people have.
It might be fucking annoying. It sounds fucking annoying. Personally, but
they have some really really good documentation, so it wasn't actually very annoying to work on.
Nice gas masks you got. Okay, let's go. If you want to go,
I do think so. Hold on, I'm considering what I can put out of my secret container here.
I know that problem.
Do you want some sugar?
Yeah, why not?
So it's really fun. I can totally recommend it.
So also I like
more complex content.
So you asked me what I like about site generators, right? So I like them from a security standpoint because they're much more secure than active websites. Because when you have active websites, you know, you have like an SQL database and shit. You can have SQL injection. You know, basically you have, I mean, comments or whatever, right? You have user entered data. And that can always be a problem. You have like an admin part of the website that people can get into. With a static site generator, you don't have anything of that. And what I also liked is I got fed off with like the fucking admin interfaces and the WYSIWYG editors, and I like writing like in a text editor. And with Hugo, I don't know, there's probably static site generators do this differently, but what I like about Hugo is it's just all like markdowns, text files, and I love Markdown anyway. I've always loved Markdown. Markdown's amazing. I write all my other stuff in Markdown anyway.
Like my articles as well. And shit. So it's like a super unnatural thing for me to use WordPress actually.
Yeah, that was the same for me. So what are we doing here? We're just lying in the grass. Are you drinking?
Need to recover some stamina. Yeah.
All right. People are having fun. Sounds like New Year's Eve.
Can you see who it is?
No. Well, I'm not standing up really, but I can. I don't see anybody. Let's put it that way. Yeah, so I just like to go, I write in Markdown, my articles, I'm just writing in Markdown, and then if somebody wants them like in a Word file, whatever, I just export them. But you can also just like quickly export that kind of stuff to HTML, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Or any other, like there's lots of, like Markdown is great because it's like, it's a common denominator, and there's lots of like export Markdown into this stuff, which is like really helpful.
Lots of converters, super versatile,
and it's easy. Like it's, you don't have to like it has it. It's just enough formatting for me, and not too much. So I really enjoy it. And then, you know, Hugo is just like I've got it all set up. Like now, I just do stuff. I have a hoster called Netlify, and it's basically you have your Hugo site in a GitHub repository, and if you commit to GitHub, it like does like continuous integration. It like kicks off like this whole thing, and then just like basically builds your website.
Yeah. So basically, with every pull request to your website repository, or to every push to the master branch, it builds deploys. It.
Yeah. You can also have more branches if you want, but like I just have the master branch, and I use Atom like the text editor. So I just like have GitHub built in. That's like built into it because it's like it is from GitHub. So I just have button, like I just write my Markdown file, and then I just have a button in the lower right corner, and I push that and it uploads it and the site gets published. And I do all my podcast sites like that. You know, I just wrote some just an RSS feed, right? I just have a theme that does a podcast RSS feed. I've got some stuff I actually developed myself, which I use for all the podcast sites, which would be cool. And it works. I mean, you don't have comments and stuff, but I don't want that anyway, really.
Yeah,
it's just a cesspit anyway.
I think lots of people are actually very happy with Markdown and also with static site generators over maintaining a CMS, or you know, keeping that up to date or whatever.
Well, I don't think it's actually that many people. I think there's some nerds who like it, but I think lots of people.
No. That's actually what I want to get into, because there's some commercial tools that actually offer this kind of headless CMS functionality, and they all integrate with Hugo or with Gatsby or some kind of query interface. One of the examples, this is not like a plug, it's just the only service that I've really tried, is a company called Contentful. And basically, they give you the WordPress backend, and then they make the content available to you via like a REST API or whatever, so that your static site generator can consume that and build that.
That's interesting. That's kind of like what when I worked for Heise, which is like the Germany's like premier like IT news site, right? Heiser Online. They've been around since 96, so they've just had their 25-year anniversary. That's basically what they do. They have like a CMS in the back end, which generates a site. It's basically like a WordPress site. And then they just have, I think it's Perl, they just have Perl scripts that take that and bake that into HTML and put that on the server. Because the website has so many visitors that you don't want that active. Like, you don't want to re-render that with, like, if you have, like, I don't know.
Yep, exactly.
Millions of visitors every day.
Just as, like, a service. I think, yeah, I think that's actually relatively popular. Because then people can say, here, content person, here is something that looks like Word, go use it. But for the developers, it's still like developing with Gatsby or Hugo or you know, whatever a good development.
But still, I don't think it's as popular as it's not. I mean, WordPress is popular. WordPress is now what, like 60% of all websites, I think. And I think static site generators need to be more popular. This is actually one of my crusades I've been on for a while, because I think people use active websites, and that's like huge security risk on like a huge part of the internet when they really don't need to. Like, they build websites that they don't need to be active. What are you doing? It's just, are you doing calisthenics? It's just exercising.
I mean, it's because we're right at the extract and I don't want to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I think we've finished that topic. Let's extract and then come back for one more raid, because we actually have some listener feedback.
Oh, yeah, we need to get into that. I totally forgot to remind you.
No problem. Shame. I got it printed out right here, so we can... Let's extract with this nice Mosin here.
You actually have that printed?
I have it printed. So here we are yet again, and I've got printed out our first feedback email. Yes, I've printed it out just to make my life easier. I'm an, if you say in Germany, Internet Ausdrucker.
Okay, boomer.
Somebody who prints out the internet. Well, I'm not actually a boomer, but I'm a boomer by heart, so I'll take that.
Boomer by heart. That's the show title.
Is it? Okay, now I have to write that down. Shit, why don't I have a pen? Boomer at heart, right? Boomer at heart. Okay, that's the show title. See, this is also good if you have a piece of paper. You can write shit down. Right. Okay, I'm good to go, I think. Where the hell are you? Did you go towards the village?
Yes, I'm in the shed of the left house.
Oh, you're that far already. Okay, right. Yes, so you will have to watch my ass here in a little bit, because I'll have to read out this email.
Oh, yeah, so we're getting into the meta part of the show, warning everybody.
It's very interesting, because we didn't have a feedback email yet. I've just created one, so if you want to give us feedback, you can write to Tarkov at fab.industries. But this email reached me from a listener of my other podcast, The Private Citizen, Fadi Mansour, who's been a long-time listener and supporter of that podcast. Obviously started to watch our show as well, and then figured out how to send me feedback before we actually head away. So that's pretty awesome.
Reddit, you know. Yeah.
Okay, I'm in some house. I'm in some shack. I don't know where the hell I'm. I'm is right that here. You?
Yeah.
Holy shit! Why? How did I just go into the same house you went to?
I fucking realize there's a dude squatting.
Yeah. See, this is why I die. See. You're asking yourself probably how I die a lot. This is how. I totally didn't see. I'm gonna go into this house now.
Okay.
I'll get some food. Anyway.
Sorry, maybe come into that house and watch your ass while you're reading that email.
Okay, I'm gonna go upstairs in this house, right?
Yep.
And sit on the bed. We'll have a little pyjama party. Let me just loot this.
Take a screenshot of that.
Let me just loot this bag. Oh yeah, the screenshot. You should send that to me. I'll use that as the episode, but not yet. Where's the bed?
Okay.
Okay, jump on the bed and sit on this bed. Okay, I'm going to read out this email. So Fadi says, I've been listening to Escape the Talk Show while doing some home maintenance. Interesting conversation. As you'd probably guess, I've never been to a nude establishment. And although I don't have objections toward it, but I have to say... it's completely it's a completely alien experience that I would never know how to be, and I would never know how to behave there. So I have to explain this because obviously I know Fadi a little bit because he's writing me a lot. He is originally from Syria, and you know, his parents fled like the civil war.
Which war?
Well, not the current one, like in the 80s, okay. Right? When he was there. Yeah, okay. And he lives in the Czech Republic now, if I remember correctly. But I'm guessing like that's why he says he would never go to the nude experience.
My body armor.
What?
You inspected my body armor.
Yeah, why do you put it down?
Shoot scabs without wearing body armor.
Oh, I thought that was loot. I'm sorry. I forgot that was your mission. I'm behaving like a... Oh! Oh, that was you. Oh, my God. Can you please warn me before you start doing this bullshit?
All right.
My God. God, I'm now totally discombobulated. Sorry, what? What are you saying?
Dude in the house. The scab walked into that house over there. Let's go get him.
Okay. Follow you around.
So, there you go.
So I think because he's originally from Syria, like from that kind of culture, he says he would not go to a nude establishment. And he says he would know how to behave. Fadi, I can tell you, you just behave like you're wearing clothes. That's the whole idea. Like, completely ignore that you're naked and that everybody else is naked. Is he still in that house? Oh, yeah. I guess that's a yes.
I think it's upstairs.
Oh, that wasn't that you shooting? That was not you shooting?
Yeah, that was me. Okay. But I don't want to go up there.
Oh, he's dead. He's lying.
No, 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 he's upstairs. Danger upstairs, probably.
Danger upstairs, okay. Where? Is he walking? Are you walking? Okay. It's like, is he walking into the wall? Let me just go up here. What could possibly go wrong? Right? I could be shot in the head. That could be wrong. I'm sorry about this.
I got him.
So, Jonathan, what happened here? What just happened?
Right. Okay, so from my perspective, right, I shot at a scavenger, right, and he ran into a building. And then I observed that building.
Drop that weapon you brought? Oh,
right.
I mean, yeah.
I observed the building, and I saw lots of, you know, muzzle flash inside that building.
Thanks
and
for getting out this weapon, by the way. Thank you.
And I was like, oh, there is somebody inside that building. So we run over there, and then you take out your pistol and sneak upstairs. And I was like, well, that's a bold move. Here we go, you know, chat fab on the move. But I think you saw that a little bit differently.
From my perspective, you said there's a scav running into this building, right? Then I hear some shooting, and I thought you killed the scav. And then you said, well, there's another scav upstairs, and I was like, okay, it's a scav. I can probably take my pistol and try shoot that guy, right?
Right.
But it was a player, and I would have never gone up there. At least, like, I would have chucked an Aiden if I had one, but, like, I would have never gone up there with just a pistol or, like, an SKS if I knew that was a player. And suddenly I understood why you were so afraid going up there, because I thought you were kind of, like, playing a little bit coy and, like, egging me on to get up there so I get some kills or whatever.
So basically, yeah. in your like perception, I set you up. I got you into a trap where you would definitely get shot.
No, in my perception, I thought you were helping me, like you were pushing me along, you know, like friendly, like you always do.
Right.
But yeah, this is what on our agenda they call Dimension A and Dimension B. Dimension A and Dimension B, how you can like perceive, two people can perceive the exact same situation completely. This is also like why police work is so hard if you're a crime detective.
Yeah,
because if you ask two people what happens, this is exactly like, there was a guy upstairs and a press vest, nice. Right, okay. Yeah. Did you go to Dead Man's Place? Yeah, you. That's you.
Move would now be if you stand at this beach and you drop your body armor into the water, then nobody can loot it, and then you put on the body armor you just found.
Okay.
So floating game mechanics 101.
Amazing. Oh, it's there. Nobody can loot it there. Nice. Okay. Huh. Wow. Pretty cool. Awesome. Just learned something. Anyway, Fadi, thanks for the email. Pretty cool. If anybody else wants to send us feedback, tarkov@fab.industries. Fab.industries is my blog. It's just like I put all the email addresses there. It's just less hassle. I hope that's okay. And yes,
also,
.industries is the TLD.
If you thought about sending Fab some nudes at that address, please don't, because I think I get those emails as well now, right?
Yeah, you get those. Everything gets forwarded to you. So, but you can ask. You can ask for like my private email address if you want to. If you want to send me nudes, I'm completely up for that. I'm up for some unsolicited dick dicks.
Exactly, that's what I wanted to plug. One of the best Twitter accounts ever. Unsolicited Dick Dicks.
Yeah, you told me about that. This is an awesome name.
Very good. You should check it out on Twitter. We'll leave a link in the show notes.
Dick Dick is Delta India Kilo, Delta India Kilo. It's like an animal.
It's like an animal. That's what she said.
It's like a little one-eyed... what's the Python. English word for Nacktmull?
Naked mole rat, I think.
Right, yes, naked mole rat. Google them. They look like penises, basically.
I know what they are. Very fascinating animals. They can't get cancer. They're very fucking. They're Chad animals in their own way, you know?
I mean, they probably can get cancer. It's probably just like very seldomly or something. They have a very good immune system.
Yeah.
It's kind of like bats. Bats have. Like all these diseases, but they never get sick. It's like pretty cool, and we don't know why, really. And then they give them to us.
Yeah.
And then also, if the Chinese breed a virus, they just get blamed, right?
Yeah. Poor bats. You know the.
I mean, we're not uploading this to YouTube, right? I can say this. This is a podcast.
I can spread. Image damage done to the bat population is actually immense.
Yeah, and bats are fucking amazing. I mean, come on.
That's so cool. You know what, that's actually what's pissing me off most about this whole corona thing. That so I could go to the zoo, right? They suck a Q-tip up my nose. They were like, yeah, you're clean. You can go in. But you know where I couldn't go in? Into the fucking night house. They have like this shitty basement under the monkey house where all the nocturnal animals are. And that's also where the fruit bats are and stuff like that. So I have not seen the fruit bats in like 2 fucking years
and
now.
And they're your friends. They don't understand. Oh, they're your people. You know. I mean, when you're at home, you hang from the ceiling, right?
I mean, I'm pretty nocturnal, I guess, but...
You are very nocturnal. You are basically a fruit bat. This is also why you know things in Tarkov. You have, like, sonar.
Yeah.
For echolocation. Cool. Jonathan has, like...
I've got a weird vibe from over there. I don't actually think that fruit bats do the whole echolocation thing.
Yeah, some bats. Oh, I'm being shot at. Oh, I can't walk. I think my legs are fucked. Is this a player?
Yeah. Oh, there's two of them. I'm done.
Oh, God. Shit. Oh, shit. Fuck you, fucking piece of shit. Okay, Oh, he's coming up from... Oh, God. One... Oh god, one guy distracted me, the other came up from behind. Classic. All Right, let's make this the last raid for this show, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically, it's not like just, I decided to get a shop, you know.
No, they were actually really. Let's go. Let's go towards like somewhere. Let's not head to like one of the crazy locations, maybe. No, they were very organized. Just like one guy clearly like came towards me, then ran away.
Yeah.
And then I hear steps, and then there's other guys like behind me, and I saw him, but I couldn't kill him fast enough because I suck at this game. But hey,
it takes some practice. The shots. Sometimes you win, sometimes you
I like
donate
that you
loot.
Still think that. I'll play you this in like about a year. When I've been at this for like 2 years and you're like,
I'm gonna say the same thing in 2 years.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it just takes practice. Like he doesn't realize that actually I'm at my skill cap. This is just how bad I am at video games.
I think you know, in comparison to time played, it's not like I don't think your skill curve is bad compared to time played.
Well, I mean, one thing I could say in my defense is that I really don't play shooters much, right? I've played a lot of PUBG beforehand.
That was the funny thing when I played with somebody who plays a lot of Counter Strike, and we played Tarkov together. And I had the Tarkov PTSD, right? I was like, let's not go in this building. There's usually bad people in there, right? And he was like, oh, no, what's in this building? Let's go explore. Runs in, you know? And I'm like, okay, let's roll with that.
Yeah, because he plays Counter-Strike and didn't get the whole RPG idea. It's really painful to lose shit in this game.
Exactly. And he was like, oh, let's fucking go. So he went in with like a completely different mentality, and I think that that actually worked in his favor a lot of the times, right?
Whereas also the PUBG my PUBG mentality is with let's not meet anybody and let's try to just crawl into the top three,
guy,
right? And then if you're lucky, basically the other two players just nade each other at the end, and they both kill each other and you win.
Yeah, they trade and you win.
Yep, that's I actually legit got quite a few chicken dinners that way.
What the fuck? I would not have the patience for that.
Oh, I have the patience, man. That is how the real rats work. I'm down in the bunker, by the way.
Okay, cool. I got like another SKS silencer, right? Nice.
Okay.
Oh, that's lunchbox. Really cool that we can get feedback now.
Yes.
I'm very happy about that.
Nice, nice segue, by the way. Well done.
Sorry, I'm a bit abrupt.
That is Tarkov at fab.industries.
Oh, I hear a scab. Oh, he's nading me.
Oh, where the fuck did that come? Did he just spawn down here? Is that upstairs?
No. Scab, there is.
Okay, where? I hear him, but I don't know where he is. Yeah, I hear him. He's like really close. I don't know. Wait, let me just move silently here. He's just like shouting. He's like, oh, there he is. Oh shit, reload, no, quicker. Is he dead? Oh, no, he's not. Is he dead now? I don't know if he's dead now or not. Wrong button. Ah! Die, you fuck. I think he's down. Yeah, he's down. Oh, there's two.
Sorry, I think I might have shot him.
Is that
No, I don't think so.
Oh, he looks weak. Like, it's early wipe. It's like really hard to tell people apart, I feel.
Yeah.
Okay, he's got a shitty toss. Right, okay.
Anyways, yes. We're very happy. If you have any feedback, please send it to us. If it's positive or negative, and also we are seducing more people into the world of Tarkov, aren't we?
Oh yeah, we had somebody, Ezekiel, said he bought a gaming laptop.
And, you fuckers got me.
Tarkov. Yeah, so we're gonna try to play a few rounds with him maybe at some point. So if you want to play Tarkov with us, please contact us on that email or address.
The previously advertised channels, you know.
Yes, and we can figure this out. Shall we at Exfil somewhere?
Yeah, you want to go to the village?
Yeah, let's go. Let's get out of here. And this, oh God, he's looting.
There was some sugar.
You realize that if we get killed again, we have to do this whole thing again, and the show will never end.
Do we need to say goodbye on an Exfil, or could we say goodbye?
We've been doing that the whole show. Yes.
Didn't realize there was a pattern.
Yeah, we need to make it out alive.
But then three times. That's not statistical significance.
No, it's the idea. Oh God. Oh, player, I'm dead.
Once again, why am I playing
this game?
Interrupted.
Why didn't I learn?
By some rascals. Unprovoked.
Okay, so you know how the show works now? I've explained it to you.
You explained something. I'm not sure I agree, by the way. But apparently, we need to actually exit a game in Tarkov.
Yeah.
When we say our goodbyes.
We came up with this in the beginning. Was like we're gonna say goodbye on the last raid where we just Exfil. This is why we sat around. You sat around with me on this map, like on the opposite exit for a while, because I needed to finish the plugging everything. So yes. So let's try to Exfil. Otherwise, this podcast will be 16 and a half hours long. I mean,
okay, see, what I remember is that we need to be in a raid to be on the show. You know what I mean? So nothing we say outside of a raid goes into the show.
You know, are you just going to the fucking camp again?
No. I'm just there's a loot box right behind this.
So actually I am recording the audio, right?
Right.
So technically only I need to Exfil, right?
Are you aiming at my head?
So
right
I
now?
Could shoot you in the head now, and then I just go and leave.
Let's do it. Let's fucking do it. Let's get out.
Where the hell are you?
This is. I'm getting shot at. I don't want like this.
It's Jonathan. Let's get out.
There's a man.
Yeah, let's kill these fuckers, right? That's what we're here for. That's what people tune into, the riveting content. Oh God, I think they're shooting at me. I don't know where they are. Where are you?
I'm in the rock formation.
Oh, I see
the guy in the tower shooting at
me. Yeah, I see. Oh shit, he's shooting at me as well. Oh God, I'm gonna have to lie down. Okay, my friend. Oh shit! that was me running out of ammunition. Click. Oh God. I wonder. You see, pushing us. I think he's shooting somewhere.
No, I think that's to our right.
Okay. Oh. Was that you?
That was me. That was me. Yeah, I'm gonna go out there and check.
Okay, I'm gonna follow you around here. I'm gonna try to watch you while I get up there.
Oh, maybe. Right side. Oh. Left.
Where?
Down.
Oh. Oh, in the tower! Up in the tower! Oh, I'm dead. We're never gonna get out of this game. I'm sorry. Hello, everybody. We're back. Game is quiet because I've run out of headsets. Hello.
Wait, what? You're not wearing a headset?
No, I don't have any headsets anymore. Let's get
the fuck
out. You
have a very fashionable bear cap, though. I enjoy that.
Okay. I'm you know me. I'm a fashion sense kind of guy.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Sunken Village. Well, I mean, we can talk a little bit about Tarkov, right? Try to, this time, not run towards the threat. And kind of just get out of this podcast. It's escape the, Jonathan, the mission is escape the talk show.
Okay. Look, I'm sensing some microaggressions right there. You know, I don't necessarily think my tactical decisions were unsound. They were just unsuccessful.
They were just shit. I'm not a person for microaggressions. I'm very much a macroaggression kind of guy. <It's> like, you fucking idiot!
Violence, momentum, aggression.
I'm actually thinking about, so I'm going on a motorbike tour with Dad soon, and I will grow my beard out. And the wife basically doesn't allow me to have a mustache, like only a mustache, because she doesn't really like that.
Are you going to have like a porn stash on
the motorbike? Yeah, I'm going to think of doing a dog disrespect kind of mustache, like for the 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
Because Dad used to have a mustache back in the day as well, so he doesn't care. And maybe the girls down on the Côte d'Azur, where we're going, will be doing this.
With a fashionable young German man.
Yeah, I'll put on some Hawaiian shirts and go Burt Reynolds on them.
I hear shots inside a building to the right.
Yeah,
I just want to say that I'm not going to make any tactical decisions based on that. You know.
Let's just take the car. Is the car still there? Right.
And look, there's an extract right there.
Thanks for listening to this show. We appreciate that you're listening. I just wanted to mention bitemark.co.uk. They provide us with the servers that this very long audio file resides on and you download from. And we'll be back after Jonathan has killed the scav.
That was a player, by the way.
Oh, God. Is he dead?
Yeah. Player down.
I don't see the body.
It's just on the bed.
Oh, right. Let's hope he doesn't have a friend.
Did you pay the car?
I've paid the car. So, and the music for this show is called I Am Unbreakable by Niklas Johansson. Do you want to plug something? You've got 35 seconds.
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about it. I don't think I really have anything.
JonathanMH.com.
Jonathan, no, visit law.photography. And if you know anything about drone laws or photography, street photography laws in your country, please let me know, because it's very exhausting and annoying to do all this research. And that's what I wish
I can
for
probably
Christmas.
Hook you up with somebody there. Thanks for listening. This was fun. We made it.
Everyone, on your own.